Well, thanks so much, Bill, and thank you all for being here to talk about an important topic for people in every state. I'm proud of what we've accomplished in Vermont over the last decade or so, and we'll discuss a few highlights today. And what I'd like to do is talk about what I saw when I assumed office a dozen, well, seems like 10 or 11 years ago, when things really began to move in the right direction in our state, the specific strategies we employed, and how it's worked since then, some information about bending that proverbial cost curve and improving the quality of care and access to it, and some of the lessons we've learned and what steps the state is going to be taking now as we continue to focus on improving the health and well-being of the people of the second least populous state in America, but according to America's health rankings, the healthiest. I'm honored to work with the Bipartisan Policy Center and half a dozen former colleagues. We are bringing a state-based perspective to some of the issues that the center has been working on at the national level, and Medicaid has been one of our focuses and will continue to be because it's such a driver, as Bill said, in every state's budget and a real fiscal imperative across the country. Vermont has long been a leader in health care reform. We had a program leveraging federal CHIP dollars called Dr. Dinosaur that insured virtually every child in our state several decades ago. We had a program called VHAP, Vermont Health Access Program, that insured everyone up to 185% of the poverty level. We expanded before it was cool. And I get a little amused when I see those national maps that list Vermont as a state that's chosen to expand Medicaid. Well, we chose it many, many years ago. We had some pharmacy programs before Part D that provided coverage up to 400% of the poverty level. We've had a low rate of uninsured for some time. We're second or so to Massachusetts now and have done quite well. The problem, though, was cost. And this, of course, is the highlight of every presentation. Because when I looked at the first budget that I was going to present to the legislature, I could see the spike in health insurance costs for state employees, our retirees, and the public programs that we provided. And I heard from a lot of Vermonters as I sought the job about the impact on their own families' budgets. And through a series of business summits, I heard from business leaders who said the cost of providing health insurance to our employees is one of the biggest problems we're facing in terms of our competitiveness. And I think that's because of a couple of trends in Vermont. We have guaranteed issue. We put that in the 90s, I guess. We had strict community rating, which tended to drive up costs. And we also had a very substantial number of mandates. Required types of coverage that every insurance policy has to contain. As a result, a lot of companies pulled out of Vermont in the 90s. We have very few insurers, very few choices, and that's contributed to higher costs as well. And our families are facing other costs, too. Housing is very expensive in Vermont. Higher education is. Our property taxes are number two. That's not where I want to be high on the list, but according to a survey a couple of years ago, so if we can try to moderate the cost of health care, it's going to make a big difference in our family budgets. We're also the second oldest state by median age, and as you know, that's where the costs tend to be even greater, and so we were confronted with a tremendous challenge. Well, here's a decade's worth of health care spending. It's not the exact decade I was looking at, but it's the decade for which I have a graphic. But you see the trend where increases in Vermont on average have been greater than across the rest of the country. And that's true in Medicaid spending as well. As I mentioned, we're a very generous state in terms of coverage, and so when Medicaid costs go up as quickly as they have, then it's certainly going to make a difference to state budgets. Half of our residents have one chronic condition, 90% of seniors, and as you all know, the vast majority of costs go to managing those chronic illnesses. These aren't unusual, but since we're the second oldest state, they're exacerbated in Vermont, and so we realized that we had to do something to get things under control. So in 2003, I had a great commissioner of health, some of you know him, Paul Jarrus, who's now the executive director of AASHTO, and I said, I shouldn't have let you go to those national meetings. Look what happened. They stole you. But he did an outstanding job. He had been in private practice and understood it from that perspective as well, and began to engage Vermonters, not only government officials, but providers and the public at large, in a new way of looking at how we take care of ourselves. And the goals are pretty straightforward. We need to live healthier lives. That's not rocket science, but it's particularly important in our state because what makes us the second oldest state is not only the fact that we live longer with that healthy air and clean living and lots of recreational activities, but we have the lowest birth rate in America. So we have fewer and fewer kids. The number of kids in our public schools is continuing to decline, and that's getting to be an economic problem. As businesses say, I need more people to take jobs. And so if we're going to have fewer kids, we got to make sure each and every one is healthy and gets off to a good start in his or her life. Even in the healthiest state in America, the obesity trends are unfavorable, and that's why it's got to be a key part of what we do. We need to manage chronic conditions, as I suggested earlier, and we need to attack quality. Our numerical system isn't too great, but actually they're all tied for the top in importance, you see. We need to improve quality as we control those costs and making sure that people get the care they need when they need it based on real evidence is critical to us. One of my favorite examples of using information and timely and evidence-based care, combining numbers 1 and 4, is something that was written up in a national publication a couple of years ago where a woman came into the emergency department at one of our hospitals with severe abdominal pain, and the docs in the ED didn't really know what to do, but they pulled up her medication history on the computer system that was available to them, and they said, well, ma'am, we see that you've been prescribed such and such a medication. You haven't renewed your prescription or refilled it recently. Oh, yeah, I guess I forgot. Well, there you go, and problem was solved. And think of what might have happened if that weren't available, all kinds of tests and maybe even more. So it really makes a difference in terms of timeliness of care and the quality of care, and so we're really excited about that. We need more transparency, and we've got some ideas on that I'll mention in just a couple of minutes as well. So the graphic at the bottom is really what this is all about. We want to transform from a system that's entirely or principally treatment-based to one that prevents illness and manages the wellness of our population. We, in addition to focusing on living healthier lives, I wanted to make sure that more Vermonters have access to care, and so we expanded Medicaid up to 300% of the poverty level in 2006. It was about a year later when things got up and running. Yes, we had a one-month delay in our website back then, but it worked fine after that 30-day hiccup. We also offered a lower-cost basic policy to anyone who wanted to pay the full premium, but it was less expensive than what was in the marketplace at the time. We call it Catamount Health. Anybody know what a catamount is? Yeah, it's like a panther, sort of, but it's the mascot for the University of Vermont athletic teams, and it's theoretically extinct now, but the teams are doing well, so it's... it's called Catamount Health, and it really provided a great option, and it decreased our uninsured rate from about 10% to 7.5% over the course of a fairly short time. We also, in the law we passed in 06, included a Healthy Choices discount so that insurers can offer up to 15% off for meeting certain standards such as not smoking and getting a regular physical exam to get away a little bit, at least, from our strict community rating. My thought when we started this was we need to reach people where they spend their time. So we have a robust workplace wellness program. I've been to a lot of businesses around the state, some public and nonprofit agencies as well, and done whatever they're doing, going for a walk or working out in some way in the facility. And the number of workplace wellness awards that I found myself distributing every year was getting so great that it was like a half-a-day program, and so we had to figure out a more expeditious way to do that and just send them their certificates unless they were the gold star. But that's been very successful. We want to make sure that our older Vermonters, since we have so many of them, age in a healthy way, And so I appointed our lieutenant governor to chair a commission on healthy aging. He worked quite diligently to explain Part D, which came out at the early part of our tenure, to establish an award program for healthy aging programs and to engage a lot of seniors in different kinds of interesting activities. I remember a chat with an 86-year-old woman at a nursing home on the eastern side of our state a few years back, and she said, I recently went skydiving, to which I replied, why? And she said, well, our activities director asked if there was anything we wanted to do, so I spoke up. Well, good for her. I'm not sure that'd be my choice, but a lot of older Vermonters are doing interesting things. We have a program called CHAMPS, some grants that we have distributed to our communities for recreational activities, but also some other public health initiatives like lead abatement and some buildings, and we have a fairly old infrastructure in our part of the country. One of the programs of which I'm the proudest is one I call Fit and Healthy Kids. Clearly, if we can encourage the next generation to focus on making good choices, on understanding what will lead to a healthier lifestyle, we're going to pass these ethics on to generations to come. And so in this program, I said to young people, I want you to do three things. Mostly these are pretty young kids. I want you to eat colorful foods. I want you to move your bodies. And I want you to turn it off. And I ask, you know what I mean? Yes, the TV. That's right. And we had competitions. We gave out awards to schools and individuals. The top prize was to come to the state capitol and go for a walk with the governor. Well, come on, it's a big deal for these little kids, right? Now, we don't have a lot of major leaguers in Vermont, but we do have a lot of Olympic gold medalists, and so I brought a number of them to the state house, and it was one of those rare occasions where somebody else's autograph was more desired than mine, but that's fine. Because it was good to see those role models for these young kids and to see what the potential is for them if they take this seriously. We had a program with our state parks that I called No Child Left Inside, which I was proud of too. We focused on nutrition and a number of years ago passed a law requiring schools to adopt a vending machine policy. It didn't prescribe what it needed to be, but just by requiring the adoption of some policy in the schools, we got better policies than we had before. And so I think that's good. We have a farm-to-school program with some grants where local farmers and fruit and vegetable growers partner with schools in their area to provide nutritious foods. We began to extend the program formerly known as food stamps to being used at farmers markets through electronic benefit cards, little machines that they had. Not everyone, some of the littler ones didn't have them, but the larger farmers markets accepted them because we want people of all means to have access to good food. And right at the time of the Great Recession and immediately afterward, we had a program called Grow an Extra Row, where we asked Vermonters to grow some extra vegetables in their gardens that they could make available to families in their communities who didn't have as much. My wife did that. I hesitate to call it our garden. She's the principal superintendent, but I think it's important to encourage Vermonters to help their neighbors at a time of real difficulty. Well, the blueprint strategy is based on the patient-centered medical home, with which many of you are familiar. We have community health teams that involve public health professionals as well as other types of health professionals, both a core team and an extended one, and I'll explain the difference in just a moment. And a key to this was getting all the payers involved. As I mentioned, we have very few insurers in Vermont, really three companies that provide health insurance in a substantial way. And we went to each of them and said, we want you to join us in a new strategy to pay for outcomes, not just pay for stuff. And that was a new concept, of course, but a welcome one. And we got them involved. The legislature made it less voluntary just to make sure they didn't reconsider a little later on. So we had everybody involved except Medicare. But then in 2009, I was with Secretary Sebelius, a former colleague who announced that Medicare would be involved in a pilot project in 8 or 10 states to join in this reform effort. It was a whole year before the rules were written. You know how that is. But finally it happened, and Medicare is participating in Vermont and a number of other states in this payment reform measure, too. Health IT is critical. We have a program called VITAL. Sometimes I think we come up with the acronym first and then fill it in, but it stands for Vermont Information Technology Leaders. And we fund our health IT program with a 0.2% tax on insurance claims. Now, it's provided a lot of money, which has been helpful, because we started before that with just voluntary contributions from the Hospital Association, the Medical Society, and others. The problem I suggested at the time, I hate to be proven right when it's unfavorable, but I said, the problem is this is an incremental tax now, but you know what happens with taxes. And sure enough, in the last year or two, the legislature increased it by a factor of 10 to 2%. And, of course, they don't put the extra 1.8% in health IT. They just use it to balance the budget, right? So I don't know if that's the right strategy or not, but it gave us an infusion of dollars to help our IT system. We have a central clinical registry. We call it DocSite. That's the vendor's term. And it has both medical and non-medical information. And we're getting to a health information exchange. I don't want to tell you this morning that it's up and running, but we're getting there. Self-management is key, and more about that in just a minute. Evaluation and reporting through a central claims registry, and learning health system activities where we want to improve the quality in our practice. And each patient-centered medical home has a quality improvement team in that practice, and I think that's key. Their goal is to increase their NCQA scoring, and I think a lot of them are going to make some real progress. Busy slide, but I mentioned the CHT. The basic team and then the extended team includes folks who care for individuals at home through the SASH teams. It's the Medicare care coordinators are working with the super utilizers. We call them frequent flyers. I guess super utilizer is slightly less pejorative. We also have the hub and spoke mental health providers, too. The payment reforms, as I mentioned, deal with insurers participating fully, and we got a CMMI SIM grant 2 years ago, I guess, now to help us with this, develop the infrastructure for reform, and we think it's going to be very successful indeed. Well, most Vermonters are now participating in patient-centered medical homes. You see, it was a slow start. We had just pilots for the first few years, and then it really took off a couple of years ago when Medicare began to participate in this strategy. And now we're a very small state. That's more than 75% of the population of Vermont now in PCMHs. So we're moving rapidly in the right direction. Self-management is key. We've adopted the Stanford Chronic Disease Self-Management Program that came out about 8 years ago. Half a dozen programs that deal with taking care of one's self, and I think it's gone quite well. One thought on the YMCA program, the Greater Burlington YMCA is one of 14 in the country that recently received a Robert Wood Johnson grant to continue its work on obesity, and I'm privileged to serve on their advisory panel, and we're going to continue to make some progress there. Health IT stuff. This is kind of interesting, the practice profile. Look at the left-hand graph in particular. This is a hypothetical one. But it shows the expenditures per capita for each practice that's participating in our blueprint strategy compared with those in their area and the statewide average. So this theoretical practice in the city of Barrie is obviously more expensive on a per capita basis than others. And that's the kind of information that we think is going to be helpful as the quality improvement teams in each practice continue to work. Well, how is this all done? How successful have we been? Well, I think we've done pretty well, if I do say so. Hospitalizations are down. These are Medicaid patients. Study groups are those who are participating in the blueprint, one group doing better than the other, but both better than everybody. There's the same are the same data on a graph. Total expenditures per capita are coming down in both study groups. Breast cancer screening is higher compared to others, and of course they're down everywhere because of the different recommendations on frequency of screening. Cervical cancer screening down as well. We're now continuing to expand the PCMHs, increase transparency, integrate data, and continue our payment reform efforts along with our SIM grant from the feds. Well, we faced a lot of challenges as we did this. We're really transforming how we deliver care by putting public health into a delivery system, but I think we're doing it. The goals are cost containment, access improvement, and quality improvement as well, and I think we've made some real progress. And to the extent that we have time when we have discussion, I'll have a few thoughts on lessons learned and some ideas for other states around the country. Thank you. Thank you.